So in this module, I want to talk about techno tantrums, why kids have them, what we can do when they have them, and how do we prevent them. So it's really important at the outset that I reiterate that techno tantrums are a normal part of a child's development, and they're not restricted just to our 2 or 3 year olds who typically throw traditional tantrums. In fact, Sophia was an 8-year-old girl who could have techno tantrums every time when she was told she couldn't have the iPad. Her mum had thought that she'd well and truly finished with the tantrum stage by the time Sophia was 8, but she was dumbfounded when her daughter would turn into a monster every time the iPad was switched off. It got to the point where formal intervention was needed in the shape of a child psychologist. Now, we obviously don't want to get to that point, but recognise you're not the only parent dealing with techno tantrums, and we need to at least understand why their screen time becomes screen time. Why do they find it so hard to switch off? And I want to remind us that our kids are still developing their social and emotional skills. We find it hard as adults to switch off technology. I know I'm guilty of checking my social media just one last time before I go to bed, or checking my inbox first thing in the morning when I wake up. Does this mean we're addicted? No, it doesn't, but it does mean we formed unhealthy attachments or a dependence on technology. And that's often why we see the techno tantrum with children. They have become dependent on the state that it provides for them. And we need to just be making careful decisions about how we teach them these healthy habits. So I mentioned before, tantrums are unfortunately a normal stage of development, and they will persist up until around the age of 6 to 8 years of age. Unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, because they're still developing their emotional regulation skills. But just remember, and I think we need to be careful that we're always saying that technology is causing the tantrum. Young kids will have a tantrum if you're leaving the park. If you selected the wrong clothes for them to wear, you picked the blue shirt instead of the red shirt, or perhaps you just cut the orange the wrong way. They wanted the snake orange with the peel cut like a snake instead of the quarters that you gave them. So sometimes tantrums in general are normal. But we need to start to unpack, and I'm going to explain now why our child has a tantrum, a techno tantrum, so we have a greater appreciation. They're not just trying to aggravate us or embarrass us, particularly if they're having the techno tantrum in the waiting room at the doctor's or at school. They're actually having a neurobiological response. So their brain is changing when they're using the technology, hence why it's so hard for them to switch off. So one of the really critical things that we're understanding more and more about is that when children are using technology, their brain is releasing the neurotransmitter dopamine. And dopamine is the feel-good neurotransmitter. So it starts to activate the reward system in the brain. So if children are playing games where they're constantly being praised and rewarded, there's a next level, they're being incrementally challenged, they're told, well done, have a star, go to the next level, get 20 points, you can imagine just how much dopamine is being released into their brain. So this is one of the reasons it's really hard to switch off. It's pleasurable. Can I give you a hint? This is exactly what's happening to us when we're checking Facebook or looking through Instagram. Our brain is flooded with dopamine. Exactly the same thing happens when we eat chocolate. So it's really hard. Those reward pathways are activated. It's really hard to then switch that off. We also have the online world also provides novelty. There is constantly something new and interesting to look at, tap at, swipe, explore. The online world caters for our human desire for novelty. In fact, the prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that is responsible for our executive function skills, all our higher order thinking skills, is actually primed for novelty. It was to keep us safe. Years and years ago, in the caveman days, we needed to know that that our personal security was insured. So we were wired to look for novelty. And the online world offers a constant state of novelty. This is the exact reason why our kids find YouTube so enticing. There's always a new clip to look at. So there's no, and this leads on to the next point, is that We have something called the state of insufficiency. There's no full stop. There's no end point in the online world. There's also always something new to look at. You think of your social media feeds. You can refresh and there's always something new or interesting to look at. And the same thing happens with our kids. The internet offers them a feeling of never ever feeling done or complete. They can scroll through endlessly. In particular, I know lots of parents are battling with Minecraft. Minecraft is literally the game that never ends. Unlike a book or a magazine or a traditional game, there is usually a finite start and finish point. There isn't in the online world. So this is why kids often like unboxing videos or YouTube videos. It really is this perpetual state of feeling insufficient. Our kids often have techno tantrums because they enter what we call the psychological state of flow. So this is where children become completely oblivious of the time. They become so engrossed with what they're doing online that they completely forget what's going on around them. And all of a sudden, if mum comes in and demands that the TV be switched off or that the laptop lid be shut, it interrupts this state of flow. And as adults, we would find it incredibly frustrating. If we were to enter this state of flow at work and our colleague came in and demanded that we come to a meeting instantaneously, we'd be frustrated too. So sometimes the techno tantrum results because we've interrupted that state of flow that they're in. And like traditional tantrums, sometimes techno tantrums are, for younger children in particular, a language skill deficit. They don't have the emotional vocabulary, the words, to convey their emotional state. So you come in and ask for it to be switched off rather than your two-year-old saying, "I'm very upset, mummy, that you've asked me to turn it off. I only had, you know, one more activity to do in this app." They erupt into an emotional mess. So we need to make sure that it's not necessarily just a deficit in their language skills. And we also know that for some children, not all children, screen time ends in screen time because their nervous system is simply overloaded. When they're using screens, particularly our more susceptible or our more vulnerable children who might have some sensory processing issues, if their nervous system is overloaded, they can become really aroused and coming off the device, switching off, becomes really difficult. They're literally having a withdrawal from that type of arousal. So there are some of the reasons why I think it just helps for us to understand your child's not trying to be difficult or annoying or upsetting. Remember, they're having this neurobiological response. So my next question I'm frequently asked is, how do I prevent it? And I wish there was an app. Somebody asked me recently, is there an app to prevent the techno tantrum? There isn't, but there's a captive market if you create one. There's nothing that I can say that will completely guarantee your child won't have a techno tantrum, but there are some things we can do to at least prevent the tantrum from starting. First and foremost, again, remember it's a normal part of their development. How do we prevent it? Establish limits, and you have to establish limits with your child before they go onto the device. So very clearly getting down at their eye level and looking at them and clearly reiterating how much time they can spend with the device. Now for younger children, giving specific numeric quantities, rather than time limits is more effective. For some children, prescribing time is a time limit is absolutely meaningless. Young children don't understand the abstract concept of time. So it's sometimes, particularly up until around the age of 8, it works better to give the children a specific number of episodes of TV that they can watch, or they're allowed to use this app and then the other app, and having quantities as opposed to using time as a metric. For older children who are on video games, giving them levels that they can attain before the device is switched off. Now, if you do elect to use time as a way to give your child limits, and that's perfectly fine, what I found works really well, as opposed to just coming in and saying your 10 minutes is up, your half an hour is up, you've had an hour, using a timer, you don't have to become the bad cop. You step out of that role and let the device or let the microwave enforce the limits. Now, just with this one, really important that you give your child reminders and cues. The last thing, particularly if they've entered that state of flow, is that we don't want to all of a sudden come in and just digitally amputate them, cut off their devices. So again, giving them reminders. And remember, they're often so engrossed with what they're doing that they may not hear your prompts and reminders that it's almost time to finish. So making sure you get eye contact or at least a reciprocated message that they've heard what you said. My next suggestion is to stick to the limits. Be consistent. Establishing media rules is great. Enforcing them is the tricky bit. So it means sometimes saying an emphatic no. Don't give them any wiggle room. Another strategy that works really well to prevent a techno tantrum is to have a transition activity. Have something that you know that they like doing to entice them off the screen. So you've given them their reminder, we've got 5 minutes till we're going to switch it off. When it comes time to switching it off, you say to them, now we've finished using the iPad, would you like to play outside or do you want to get the Lego out? Again, giving them choice is really empowering, but having activities off screen that you know that they like. Can you see why getting your child to come off the iPad and do their homework, particularly if they don't like school, can be a problem? So we need to have something that you know that will be appealing to them to come off the device. Acknowledge their feelings. I think sometimes we belittle kids and think it's no big deal to come off the iPad. For some kids, coming off technology is really difficult. So acknowledge their feelings. A basic human desire is that we're heard. So, you know, reiterating to your child, I understand you're frustrated that you can't continue using the laptop, or I understand you're upset that the television's being switched off, but it's time that we go and do and give them an activity to transition to. And the most powerful strategy, and it seems so simple, but what I've found from experience is actually getting your child to switch off the device, whether it's using the TV remote or shutting the lid on the laptop or clicking the button to turn off the tablet device. Empowering your child to switch off the device can be really, really effective, as opposed to you yanking it off them or wrestling it off them. Getting them to actually turn it off can divert at least the techno tantrum. And every parent's savior, particularly if they're younger children, is to divert their attention. If you can sense the techno tantrum coming, try to at least divert it to something else. You know, put on a silly hat, put on funny glasses, give them something interesting to look at or think about. Now, if you have unfortunately been unsuccessful in preventing the techno tantrum, how do we actually deal with them? Remember, they're an emotional storm for our children. They haven't yet developed the emotional skills to deal with whatever they're trying to process. And that's why our job as parents and educators is so critical. We have to show them how to deal with these emotions without necessarily combusting into fits of tears. So Justin Coulson talks about how do we deal with tantrums in general? And I think it applies equally here to how we deal with techno tantrums. So he says one of the ways that we can manage them, or one of the ways we deal with tantrums in general, is we turn away. We ignore it. We put them in timeout. I'm walking away if you don't turn the iPad off, or I'm going to go and yank the remote out of your hands, or I'm going to unplug the laptop. So that's turning away from the child. We can turn against the child, so we can start to get angry or frustrated. Why won't you turn off that iPad when you were asked? Stop it straight away. I asked you to shut that down. So we can turn against the child, but the most effective way and also the most difficult way is to tune in. So we had turn away, turn against, or turn into our child. And this is where we can explain how they can deal with their frustrations. We can get down at their eye level and say, I understand you want to keep playing the iPad, but we can't do that. We're going to go outside now and play on the swings. So acknowledging their feelings, helping to divert their attention, and then helping them move through that emotion. Remember, our kids don't have a hindsight or a catastrophe scale. So this situation to them feels like level 10 on the catastrophe scale. They don't have the life experience to say, well, in the big scheme of things, not being able to use the iPad isn't really that big a deal. And again, as parents, don't take the situation personally. Try as best you can, and I know it's not always easy, deal with it rationally. Help them through it. So how do we do that? Listen respectfully to their demands. if possible, if you're not racing out the door to go to sport training or off to school, try to see the situation from your child's perspective. Perhaps they're trying to finish crafting something in Minecraft, or they're almost at the end of play school and you're coming in saying your screen time's up. Sometimes we do have to give a little bit. Doesn't mean we give in to their demands, but we all like to be heard. So it's important we actually look at what their demand is, and sometimes we can accommodate it, sometimes we simply can't. But if we listen respectfully, kids at least feel like they've been heard. If they have erupted into this techno tantrum, offer them reassurance and comfort. This is where we can actually use the tantrum as a learning experience and to help our child develop self-regulation skills. Can you see why always giving into our child's demands and into their techno tantrums can actually be counterproductive? We can try and label their feelings, and in doing so, we can build their emotional vocabulary. So perhaps you could say, I understand you're feeling really frustrated that mummy's asked you to turn off the TV. Give them these words so they can label their feelings. Strategy number 3 in dealing with the techno tantrum is don't give in to their demands out of embarrassment or out of frustration. I completely understand firsthand how tempting it is to cave into their often completely irrational demands, especially if we're out in public. Now, whilst it may alleviate the situation at hand, I saw a mum recently whose young child insisted they have the iPad whilst they were getting changed after their swimming lessons. And this child was getting so frustrated and upset. And really pleasingly, this mum didn't give in to the demand. I'm sure it would have been much quieter, much easier process getting her child dressed. I'm not sure how you pop little heads and arms through clothes with an iPad attached. But it really doesn't solve the problem long term. We need our kids to develop self-regulation skills. And in fact, if we're always giving them the digital pacifier, I think it can actually exacerbate their problems. We have to be really firm, and our children will soon learn that having a tantrum is not a negotiation tool. We also need to express our feelings, and this strategy is often best used after the tantrum has subsided. When your child is literally, you know, clenching fists and stomping on the floor and screaming hysterically, it's probably not the best time to tell them that you're, you know, frustrated or upset, but definitely expressing your feelings afterwards. Really important strategy here. And kids are really good at trying to push the envelope. They're great negotiators. So avoid saying yes or maybe. So when they're pleading, you know, they're going to wash the dog for 6 weeks, they're going to unpack the dishwasher every day just for one more game or one more level, don't give in. Stand firm with your decision about screen time. A yes or a maybe is a really slippery slope. And your children will know that these rules are not enforceable. Once you've said yes, it's really hard, or maybe it's really hard to then go back. Now, after the techno tantrum has subsided, discuss how your child could better handle this in future situations, but let the storm pass. You know, let them go and relax, calm down, and then talk to them about what happened and how future episodes could possibly be avoided. This is a really important part of the process, and this is where we're turning what Justin Coulson calls turning into our child. We're trying to encourage them to use their language so it will build their emotional vocabulary and equip them with strategies to deal with it in the future. So simple things like role-playing or practicing what we're going to do when mummy asks them to turn it off. Really important, again, technology is a privilege, it's not a right, and we need our kids to understand that they will have to use it and also switch off from it as well. So how do we change their unhealthy habits? What if our child is constantly having techno tantrums? What if we feel that they're verging on unhealthy use of the technology? It's really important, just like moving a tree isn't always impossible, I found out recently, even really big, well-established trees can be moved. It's not always easy, but it is possible. So it's not too late to start. We can always, no matter where our child is, start to implement some healthy media habits. Even if they've formed some unhealthy attachments, we can still intervene. It will be more difficult, but it's certainly achievable and it's worthwhile. So going in and just imposing, you know, it's Monday morning, we're going to have new rules imposed, is probably the least effective way to do it. We'll get kids that are frustrated, unsure about what's going on. So instead, what we can do if our child's developed some unhealthy habits is to openly discuss the changes. What are we going to implement and why we're going to implement them? Children are much more likely to agree to our changes if they at least understand our reasoning, particularly older children. Try to involve your child in the process. If they feel like they've got some control over the situation or the outcome, they're much more likely to be involved. Another strategy is to do an activity swap. So children love being given choice, so give them some options. So instead of screen time, would you like to go to the beach, go to a friend's house, or ride your bike? The trick here for this strategy to be effective is to give your child a menu of activities that you know is appealing to them. And the fourth tip here, if you're going to try and implement some change, is to gradually implement change over time. Our child finds it difficult to adjust to changes rapidly. So if we feel the changes are, if the child feels the changes are too drastic or too quick, they're really much more likely to resist them. So help your child develop these healthy habits. And we do this through simply modeling healthy habits ourselves, through establishing, and I'll talk about this in one of the later modules, a media plan, have a technology plan, and then most importantly, enforcing this plan. So hopefully in this module, I've explained why our kids have techno tantrums, how we can prevent them, and if they do result, how do we deal with them? In our next module, we're going to look at what the current guidelines are, what are the actual recommendations, and I'm going to tell you why I don't think we need to necessarily adhere to those.